All right, open your Bibles to John chapter 12. Today's Palm Sunday, day on which Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it's hard to believe that, you know, he comes in, he's riding a donkey's foal, and they're putting palms in front of his path as he comes into the city, and the people are shouting, "Hosanna, he who comes in the name of the Lord is the Blessed One, the King of Israel." I mean, you know, this is on Sunday, and less than a week later, these same people are shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." It's an amazing thing, but that's exactly what happened. And today we're going to look at what I call Jesus' final plea. Because it's the last time that we have recorded that he actually spoke publicly about his mission here on earth, the message that he carried. After this, it's all in private. He's talking with his disciples. They're in the upper room, and then he's, you know, in the garden being arrested, and the whole thing about Pilate and Herod and all those things take place, and then the crucifixion. But this is just him among the people for the last time that it's recorded before what was going to happen was going to happen. And last words are important. And Jesus' last words are extremely important. And our text today is verse 44 through 50 of chapter 12, but I want you to look just a little before that, just two verses before that, 42 and 43, because it sort of sets the tone for what Jesus said. It says, "Nevertheless, many did believe in him, even among the rulers, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, so that they would not be banned from the synagogue, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God." And, you know, it's when I read that statement, you know, it makes you think, do I love praise of men more than praise of God? Do I fail to confess him? You know, that's a question every one of us needs to ask. There were many that believed, it said, many. And yet they were afraid of what men would say. And I don't know about you, but every time I witness, I'm a little afraid of what they're going to say. It's, you know, it gets out there, but you do it anyway. You share the gospel because it's that important. It's that important. And so in the context of that, in the context of there was these people that would not confess him, we come to our text in verse 44. And it says, "Then Jesus cried out." You know, there were many there that would not confess him. But Jesus confessed himself. That's why I had Del read the part in 2 Timothy there. You know, he won't deny himself. People will deny him, but he won't deny himself. He's faithful, even when we're not. And I'm glad. Glad of that. And so we come to the first point. He cried out. In verses 44 through 46, we see Jesus' encouragement to those who believe. Jesus cried out, "The one who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness." And so we see here that Jesus' encouragement to those who believe, you know what? We have fellowship with God. If he is the way to have fellowship with God. He says, the one who believes in me believes not in me, but in him, in who he who sent me. That's the connection. If you want to have fellowship with God, it's got to be through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You know that song, The Voice of Truth? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way. He's the only way. And that's the truth. And if you want fellowship with the Father, it's got to come through Jesus Christ. There's so many people out there that say, oh, I believe in God. I believe there's a God. And I'm good. You know, I'm a good person. And I believe in God. And I'm okay. No, you're not okay. The only way to the Father is through Jesus. The only way. And by believing in Christ, we have fellowship with God. And if that's where you're at today, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've been studying Romans chapter 8 in the men's Bible study on Thursday nights. And we got to that passage that causes people some interesting feelings, I guess, when they read it. It talks about predestination and whom God calls and all that. And we had some good discussion just on those two verses, 8:29 and 8:30 in Romans. And we had some really good discussion. But the bottom line was, I said, how many men here in this room believe you've been saved? You've accepted Christ as your Savior. Everybody raise their hand. I said, so regardless of what you think this passage says, praise the Lord. Because you've been chosen. You've been chosen. You have Christ in your heart. You have a relationship with the living God. And you're not going to go to hell. And just for that alone, praise God. And thank Him every day. So not only do we have fellowship with God, we have knowledge of God. In the next verse he says, and the one who sees me sees Him who sent me. God makes Himself known in the face of Christ. We can know Him. We can have knowledge of what He's about. You know, and I've said it before I had Christ, I would read parts of this book, it made no sense. I mean, I could understand what it was saying, but I couldn't figure out how it applied to me. Once I accepted the Lord, you become, as the Bible puts it, spiritually discerned. You can read these things and go, wow, that applies to me. Wow, I can know what God thinks. Do you understand that when you read this, you are looking into the mind of God? You want to know what God thinks about marriage, what He thinks about money, what He thinks about relationships, what He thinks about children, what He thinks about idolatry, what He thinks about sin? It's right here. It's right here. You can get into the mind of the Lord and understand it. You can have the knowledge of God. You can know God in a very intimate way, a very real way. Now, you're not going to know everything He knows, but you can know God. And what's better than that, folks? I mean, really. What's better than that? And we see in the next verse, in verse 46... and he says, I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. We have light from God. We have light from God. Do you realize light is available? Whatever your situation is, you may be in a situation and it seems very dark. It seems like there's no way out. You don't even know which way to go. Light is available, folks. He came that we would have light. And understand. And sometimes we go through things we don't understand. Sometimes we're like, why? But don't ask why. I mean, it's okay to ask why, but ask what? What are you trying to teach me, Lord? Or maybe ask how. How am I to respond, Lord? That's what you ask, along with the why. It's okay to ask, but sometimes He doesn't tell us why. Sometimes he just says, this is the what. This is what I'm trying to teach you. This is how you're supposed to respond, even if you don't feel like it. But light is available. Do you realize that? Do you understand? And it doesn't have to be this huge thing. It could just be something that's just bothering you. It doesn't have to be this tremendous sin or anything like that. It could just be something going on in your life, in your attitude, in your mind. And you just kind of wonder about it. Or maybe it has something to do with your mindset or your conduct, and you're making mistakes. Do you understand that light's available so that you can see that the way you're on might not be good decisions and you need to make different decisions? There's light available to show you that. I hope you're seeking light. Because if you're staying the way you are, it's your fault. God is trying to conform you to the image of His Son. And He's bringing things into your life to do that, to accomplish that, to bring glory to Himself. And yet, so many of us, we make the same mistakes over and over again. Do you realize you don't have to do that? There's light and there's power available. So we see this is an encouragement to those who believe. If you have Christ in your heart, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you've repented, you've admitted you're a sinner, and you've asked Him to forgive you, this should be a tremendous encouragement that you have fellowship with God. You have knowledge of God. You get light from God to live in this world and live triumphantly. That's for the believers. But now Jesus... Oh, one more verse. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in what? The face of Jesus Christ. It's all about what you do with Christ, folks. It's all about what you do with Christ. God Himself said it. There's light out there, and it's in your heart. But it only comes through Jesus Christ. Now we see in 47 and 48, Jesus is warning to those who do not believe. Those who do not believe. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't accept my sayings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day. So we got two categories of unbelievers. There are those that hear and don't believe. You know, there's people that sit in church services all over our nation, all over the world, and they walk out and they're still not believers. I did that for a lot of years. And there are many that do this each and every week. They sit in church services, they hear, but they do not believe. But there's a warning. There is a certain and unavoidable judgment for all who do not believe. There's a warning. You know, the other category is the ones that, as he put it, they reject. There's those that hear and don't keep them, but then there's others that reject. They won't even listen. You ever run into somebody like that? You try to talk to them about, no, I don't need that. You know, I've told you before, you know, I went witnessing one time, knocked on the door, and they saw that we had a Bible in our hand. They just shouted through the door, nobody's home. And, you know, they don't even want to hear. You know, they don't even want to talk. They've already made up their mind. They've rejected. They've rejected the truth. And, you know, and I pray that somewhere along the way their heart got soft.
you know, that God did something to where they would listen. Because, you know, we all went down that road. There was a day when we would not listen. And then there was a day we would listen and then maybe not buy in. But then there's a day when you listen and you realize your need and you call upon the name of the Lord to save you. And we pretty much all go down that road. I mean, that's the way. Some of us, it was, you know, like my wife, you know, accepted the Lord when she was 9. She, you know, she left that dark path of sin she was on at age 9. And, you know, the despicable creature that she was. And, and then there's people like me that went all the way to 32 before I figured it out, you know, before I actually let God tell me something. Okay, so there's all different ones, but we all pretty much have the same path. There's a time when you won't listen, there's a time that you will, and then there's a time you believe. But there's many. Bible says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many go through there. There's many that reject. Narrow is the gate to life and truth. Few be that find it. If you're among those that know, praise the Lord, you are among the few that found it. But this is a warning. There may be some in this room here today. There is a certain and unavoidable judgment. You know, and he says, I don't judge him now. No, I'm not judging him now. Why? Because that's not what he was there for. He came to save. He came to pay the price, and he knew this was coming. He knew that in less than a week, he was going to go through what he went through, what we're going to be talking about next week. He says, but right now, I've got my mission. Why I was sent to fulfill. And he says, what? My word will judge them. The words that I've spoken. And he just cried out. He just said, believe. Believe in me. You'll see the Father. He's given them the truth. He says, the word I have spoken will judge them on the last day. Because you see, there is a certain and unavoidable judgment. It's coming. It is coming. And I'd rather face him as a believer. And maybe I'll be a little ashamed of some of my things I've done since I was saved. But I'll be saved. Okay? I'd rather face him that way than face him without Christ. Because there's only one result of that. There's only one result of that. It is certain. It is unavoidable. It is appointed for people to die once. And after this, judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Judgment is coming. Sometimes we feel like, God, why are you letting this world go? Why do we got all this stuff going on in the world? Why are innocent people in really bad situations? Well, you know, you could talk a lot of things, but there's one basic reason why he lets it go on. He wants everyone that can be saved to be saved. If he closed the book of life right now, no more names written down in the book of life, then it's over, folks. He says you got to work while there's light. Because there's going to be a day when the darkness comes and you ain't going to work no more. That's not good English, but that's the truth. You're not going to work anymore. And what's our work? Share the gospel. Share what you have. You know, he's not asking you to share what you don't have. Just share what you have. Be a witness. What is a witness witness about? What a witness has seen. I don't witness about what you've seen. I witness about what I've seen. I don't witness about what you've experienced. I witness about what I've experienced. You all have a witness. You all have a testimony. That's what you share. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be, you know, got pieces of paper on the wall that says you know all this stuff. All you need to know is the Lord and your own story. I remember I was in a church many years ago, and we had people coming up giving testimonies, and everybody, you know, you get nervous. I mean, it's one of the great fears of people is to stand before people, and they come up there to give their testimony, and they had it all carefully written out. Most of them just read it, you know, because they're standing there, their knees are knocking, you know, they got their knees locked up so they don't fall down, you know? And this one guy gets up there and they go, "Wow, you don't have any notes?" He goes, "I don't need notes to tell you my life." And it's true. You know your life. You know what you were. You know what you've done. You know what God did in your heart. You know what you've been after that. You don't need notes. You just need courage to share it. That's all. And God will give you courage. He will. Because you know what? There's people that they're going to die. And after that, it's going to be judgment. And that's why God holds off. That's why He waits. And that's why even though this world's spiraling seemingly out of control, He wants as many people to be in heaven. And you, guess what? He's wanting to work through you. He already did His part. What did He do? Sent Christ. He became man and lived as a man and died and submitted Himself to men to die a horrible death to pay the price, to make the way. And then He says, "Okay, I leave it unto you. Share what I have done." He wants to work through us. If you want Him to come sooner, witness to more people. And that way all the ones that are supposed to get saved will get saved, and then He'll close the books. That's why He waits. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to a knowledge of God. That's what He wants. Lastly, we see Jesus' authority. You know, first he wanted to encourage us believers, and He wanted to warn the unbelievers. But, you know, what right does He have to say these things? What right does He have to say it's got to be through me? What right does He have to do that? By what authority? Well, He gives us that in 49 and 50. He says, "I have not spoken on my own, but the Father Himself who sent me has given me a command as to what I should say and what I should speak. I know that His command is eternal life. So the things that I speak just as the Father has told me." Jesus' authority. He was not speaking on His own, but on behalf of the Father. The Father commissioned His Son and sent Him to us. He commissioned Him. Do you understand that before God even said, "Let there be light," God already knew that He was going to create this whole universe and everything in it, and people too, and that people were going to sin, and that Jesus, and He was going to come to earth in the form of a baby Jesus and grow up and die and pay the price for your sin and mine before the foundation of the world, before He said, "Let there be light." It was all part of the plan. He was commissioned before time began, and He was going to do it. He commissioned His Son, and He sent Him out to us. To us. And He commanded His Son. Not only did He commission Him, He commanded Him what to say. He says, "I don't speak anything except what my Father tells me." Man, I wish I could say that. That I don't speak anything except what God tells me to do. Oh boy, what a relationship. What an example for us to speak that. To speak just as the Father said. And what did God speak of? What did God want Jesus to speak of? What did Christ speak of? Eternal life. I know that His command is what? Eternal life. It's the only life God knows. It's eternal. Eternal life. If you believe and confess and receive, you shall have eternal life with God the Father in heaven forever. Forever is a long time, folks. You know, this earth has probably been in existence around 6,000 years or so, something like that. That is nothing in eternity. We can't even comprehend it. We can't wrap our brain, the little pea brain that we have, we can't even wrap that around eternity. The thing that I really can't wrap my mind around is people in hell for eternity. That really gets me. That really gets me. I mean, I could see, okay, judgment, 1,000 years, and then it's done. You know, 10,000 years, and it's done. But it's not that, folks. It's forever. Jesus mentioned it many times in, you read the Gospels, many times. People will be thrown into the place of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. The fire that never goes out. I cannot comprehend that. And I think about people that I knew 20, 30 years ago that passed away. Some of them in my family. And if they didn't know the Lord, the minute they closed their eyes and they took that final breath, they opened their eyes like the rich man in Lazarus. And it says he closed his eyes and then he opened his eyes being in torment. It was immediate. And I think about all that has gone on in my life since those people passed away. And all this time they've been in torment. Think about it. And you know what? Tomorrow they'll be in. I'll have a good night's sleep. And you know, sometimes we don't sleep so well. Some people, you know, I've talked to people, they didn't sleep very well last night. But I guarantee you, you slept better than those people. Guarantee it. You know, my worst night is not like their every second that they and they exist. They exist. They still exist. And it's forever, folks. It's not going to stop. And I have a hard time just gripping that thought. But that's what the Word of God says. That's what the voice of truth says. And Jesus himself says, I come to speak about eternal life, that you may have it. We need to be more eternally minded, folks. We do. We need to realize, you know, this body, yeah, and every one of us, we're in certain levels of decay. You know, if you want to call it that. Some of us are a little better off than others at this point. But there's going to come a day when you can serve no more. And there will come a day, if you know the Lord, you've only got a certain amount of time to share him. If you don't know the Lord, you've only got a certain amount of time to receive him. Because everyone dies. It is appointed. Remember the scripture in Hebrews. Everybody's going to die, and then the judgment. It's going to happen, folks. And Jesus didn't want it to happen. He wants everyone. It is not God's will that any should perish. Because of this commission, because of this command, Christ has the authority to demand our faith. How do you have eternal life? He demands faith. Where's your faith? Are you placing it in Jesus Christ? Then by God's grace, you will be saved if you do that. But if you don't believe in Christ, what did the scripture say in Timothy? If you deny him, he will deny you. He will deny you. And that's what's the marvelous story of Easter, folks. That's the marvelous story of what Jesus did for us. This man, you could study this week from Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday and all the stuff that happened. And you could, I don't know how many messages you could preach on just that week alone. All the things that Jesus did and accomplished and what God accomplished through him and in different people's lives. It's a great week. And I'm glad it happened. I'm sad that Christ had to die for my sin, but I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people. And we must be saved by it. You don't get saved under any other name. It's Jesus Christ. It's him or nothing. That's it. Every single person that has ever lived has to do something with Jesus Christ. They got to do something with him. They either reject him or they accept him. And there's no middle ground. He's either your Lord and Savior or he's your judge. Pretty much it, folks. Pretty much it. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven. And we must be saved by it. It's the only way. Here's Jesus' final plea. As a faithful witness to his Father, Christ spoke truth. The truth about those who believe, the truth about those who don't believe. And he had the authority to back up what he said. He backed it up. Final words are a great encouragement to faith. He's encouraging us. I hope you're encouraged. If you know the Lord, I hope you're encouraged. Look at what he did for you. He loved you that much. He loves you that much. Do you understand that his sacrifice hasn't stopped? Do you understand that? Think about Jesus before he came to earth as a baby, as a person. He was with the Father, and we don't know what form that was. I mean, we know that he came to earth. You know, he manifested himself. They call him Theophanes. He manifested himself, like to Abraham. He met with Abraham and some others in the Old Testament there. And, you know, he manifested himself physically and sat down and ate, you know, and things like that and talked. But then he would go back. But then when he became flesh and blood, man, he was born, he lived to be 33, right? Crucified, died, rose again bodily, right? And he stayed for some weeks, seen by over 500 people in one place, along with other various meetings. And then what? He bodily left, and he bodily is coming back. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And I believe he's bodily up there, or, you know, wherever up there is, you know, with God. You know, he gave it up. He gave up what he was to become us. And he's still us, folks. He's still a person. He's still flesh and blood. And he's coming back. But do you realize it's been just about 2,000 years since that? And he's still, you know, touch my hands, Thomas. Put your hand in my side, Thomas. He sacrificed for eternity for you and me. That just boggles my mind. Like that verse, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed unto us, that we should be called children of God. What kind of love is that he gave up what he was to be what he is for us, for our benefit. That is just amazing to me. We, another one of those things we can't comprehend, his love for us, his love for people. And it's all people. It's not just what we call the good people. It is the every person who has ever lived from the most evil to the most innocent. Love them all equally. I find that's just hard to fathom, because I find it very difficult to love people equally. I don't know about you. Some are more lovable than others. Let's just face it. But with Christ, with God, he loves everyone the same. The same. Same sacrifice for each one of us. Praise the Lord for our Lord. Praise the Lord for his love, for his infinite care. Great encouragement to faith. Faith in the eternal God who made a way for sinful people to have life, eternal life, with him through Jesus Christ. They are also a great warning to those who choose to reject God's free gift of salvation to all who believe. It's a free gift. It's an offer. It's there. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You merely accept it. It's like him setting salvation in his hand. You accept it. On your terms, Lord. It's your terms. It's not my terms. It's your terms. Faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He paid the price. I deserve hell. You want to give me heaven. How do I do that? He demands our faith, that we believe. You know, God makes the rules. He's God. He could have done it any way he wanted to. This is the way he chose. He lived it in the form of Jesus Christ. He put it in his word so there'd be no mistake. There is no doubt. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no doubt. Where are you today? Where are you right now with God? Do you have fellowship with him? Do you have knowledge with him? Do you have relationship with him? Amen. Are you there? I hope you are. But maybe there's some in this room today that maybe they don't. Maybe you've never asked him to forgive. Maybe you've never even admitted to him that you deserve hell, that you're a sinner. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. What category are you in? Are you in the category of, I don't even want to listen, I just reject it? Or are you in the category of, well, I've heard it, but I've never really bought into it? There could be some here today. If there's even just one here today, God loves you. He already proved it. God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he proved he loved us. He sacrificed his son. How much more could you prove that you love somebody than to take your own son and let them crucify him? Would you have to prove it anymore after that? Don't have to prove it anymore, do you? Man, I gave you my son. What else you want? And he says, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. The rest of us, there may be some here that don't have a relationship. This is your time. The rest of us that do have a relationship, is there something in your life that needs to change? Do you know there's light for that situation, whatever it may be? You know, you may have an issue with forgiving somebody. or somebody that you just cannot forgive, do you know that there's light for that? Do you know that there's a penalty if you don't? That's in here too. Or there may be some here that are just discouraged. Do you know there's light for that? I don't know. Where do you need light? You know. You know where it is. There's light for that. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want people to have freedom. Is there anybody here today that say, Brother Mike, I've never made it right with God. I've heard some things, you know, I've maybe even been in church 1,000 times maybe in my life. But I've never admitted to Him I was a sinner and asked Him to forgive me and save me. Anybody like that? I've never made that profession of faith. Is there anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. Nobody's looking. Well, as far as I know, everyone here has accepted Jesus. I hope that's true. I really do. I really do. Is there anybody here that would say, you know what, there's an area, God has brought an area to my mind that I need light. Anybody like that? There's something going on. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. I don't know what it might be. It could be anything. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Something need to change in your life? Anybody say, yeah, I need to change something. I've got the light, but I've never acted on it. I know what I ought to do, but I never have. And I'd like prayer for that. Anybody like that? Just lift your hand. I already know. Amen. See that hand. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for your word that gives us the light that we need to live right here, right now for you. Lord God, I lift up these that raise their hands, Lord. They're admitting that you're working in their heart in some way. And Lord God, I pray you'd give them light, and I pray you'd give them courage to act upon what they know. I pray, Lord, that you would use them in a mighty way, that you would just grab a hold of them, Lord, and raise them up for your service and your purpose, whatever it is that you have for them, that they would live for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what Jesus did. This Palm Sunday when he rode into Jerusalem being proclaimed that he's the King of Israel, Lord. And we know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we know you are going to come back. And we praise you and we thank you. And we anxiously await your return when you come back as not as Savior, but as Lord and King. We await for that. We pant for it, Lord. We're so thirsty for you. In the meantime, Lord, help us to be a witness for you. As we wait for you, Lord, may we be busy about your business. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Help us now, Lord, as we make decisions for you. In Jesus' name, amen. This time is yours as the music plays. If you need to do business with God, you do it right now. This is your time. If you need to come forward, make some sort of commitment, you do so. If you want to take care of it right there in your chair, you do so. But I ask you to confess it, though, to someone. If you make a decision, tell someone, family member or somebody you trust or whoever, you know, confess it. There was people that, you know, they were afraid to confess because of what people would say. Let that not be said of us. May we be bold. This time is yours. Use it wisely. Lord God, we come before you this morning just grateful, Lord, for what you've done in our hearts. Thank you for the eternity you've promised us. Lord, may we be pleasing to you as we go through our lives here on earth. May you use us in a mighty way to impact people for you. May you be glorified, for you are worthy of all praise and honor. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here, not only this day,
but in the days to come. We look forward to it in Jesus' name. Amen.